there was expressed some concern, not a great deal, but some wondered before this began if we would stay in the realm of theory or get down to some practical things. I sort of feel like first 2 days we've been in Colossians chapters 1 and 2. Now we're getting to chapters 3 and 4. Or we've been in Ephesians 1 through 3. Now we're getting to 4 to 6. So hang on tight. We're not finished yet. I would like to just remind you that I am here as a catalyst. I am not, and that has happened a bit. We're not making any judgments, announcing any policies or whatever. We are providing a framework for discussion, okay? So we know where we are at this time. And so we don't have to fight anybody at this stage. We've all got our chance to put our word in, and we ought to put it in, not only what we feel, but how we feel it. I mean, that's what we're after. Let's see. Seemed like somebody said something to me I ought to clear up, and I forgot. In your discussion groups, when you talk about should there be any differences on the limits set for community ministry than for the collegiate or military, why don't you also discuss the name? Is the word community broader than we want? Should we use the word layman's ministry, for instance? Maybe we should go back to that. But you might want to put that down for discussion. Oh, and I know, somebody was asking about the 18 to 30. Are we talking now about recruiting, or are we talking about the ministry, the primary thrust of ministry? We're talking about ministry is what we're talking about here. Is there some significant observation for clarification on this first list? Not necessarily to speak to it, but for clarification before we go on to the proposed will nots. And incidentally, I also would like to say, I've been around for 35 years, and I never participated in a list of will do's and will nots before in this form. I'm not sure this is the form it ought to be in. This is a catalyst for discussion, and Donald had a suggestion here that maybe next time we can put in a different form for discussion. But still, it gets to what we want to talk about. So, and you can speak to, as I said before this conference is over, the structure, the manner in which these things are set forth. But is there any question or comment for clarification of the first? On the will do's. All right, let's just go down then on the next page. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or Church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. We talked about that limits would be determined by scriptural guidelines. Well, there are clear scriptural guidelines, that's first. Secondly, by what you might call providential circumstances or strategic considerations. And thirdly, by an inner sense from the Holy Spirit. We all know imperfectly, and we have a sense of things that I think the Holy Spirit gives. That's faith, that's beyond what maybe the circumstances would show, but would that we'd have a sense of. And I think that's a legitimate way of knowing as well. Okay, first of all, provide regular corporate worship. By that I mean as navigators. It could be argued, well, is not a Sunday morning meeting in a conference, a worship service? And yes. Do not small groups of people meet in a home and worship? Well, yes. I mean, as far as I can see. But it does seem to me that just generally speaking worldwide, that a regular corporate worship is considered not only the province of the local congregation, but the center of it. And so why not acknowledge that? And also avoid competing with it. That's the intent here. Why do not cause anyone to stumble, Jews, Greeks, Church of God? It doesn't seem to me to be necessary. That's the thought there. There may be scriptural reasons that would forbid doing this, but I'm not aware of them. To me, it's on another basis. Yes, Walt? Well, in my own mind, Doug, none of these are... I didn't think of... Well, first of all, I see what you mean by public relations. In my own mind, none of these are in here primarily for public relations. I did mention, and if that's what that verse is talking about, well then, right. If that's, that is not to give offense. But I have an additional reason as to try to studiously avoid those things that are not necessary and that are considered a province of a local congregation, to try to maintain in every way possible the distinctive there having to do with the local congregation and a specialized function. And that even if it's a little step, that whatever we can do there's not to avoid, it's not necessary to do, why do it? So that's deeper still, I think. Because this is not intended even to be a public relations document that some pastor is going to see this and say, yeah, well, boy, that's the Navigator's Belief. I'm for that. This is for us. So that's all the way through here. It's deeper in my mind than public relations. So also, I feel like... that there's no way to come up with something that's going to resolve our public relations problems anyway, are there?
Yeah, maybe public relations is probably a poor word, and maybe the biblical words give no offense.
Okay. I'm thinking of both. Give no offense, and also to try to, even in little ways, but cumulative ways, put into practice what we talked about Monday. On the identity of the two structures of God's redemptive mission, to use Winter's term. And that on this basis, that we would more tend to drift into it than to purposely go into it. And I think if we can avoid even the little things that drift us toward it, that it would help make us more effective. It will push us more toward to some way relating our fruit to local congregations, to recognizing their existence. And that's why that's the intent through here. Yes, Wayne?
I personally have a great deal of difficulty knowing how I can apply that. It seems to me corporate worship is an essential thing that I need to teach the people I'm working with. And I need to practice, and on a regular basis, to teach them. Now, practically, how can I do that?
What I'm talking here about Sunday morning worship service. Let's not do that. To be more specific.
Well, then it's the time to do it.
Well, don't you think that around the world, local congregations genuinely feel that they have a a franchise on providing regular corporate worship for Christians? And my thought is, let's acknowledge that, and let's not compete with it. Let's participate in it. It's 1 hour a week. I mean, I don't see why necessarily we have to... I mean, that's my thought. I don't say we shouldn't provide personal. We do. We talk about individual worship of the Lord, and so on. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, see, I saw Terry. Was it your hand up, Terry?
I was wondering if providing regular corporate worship in a traditional sense would
be better. That may be better. That may be better.
Lauren, one other term relating to that is regular corporate family worship, because that, I know that has an extra
thing. Well, I think we have to decide, with that significant batch of young Navigator Christians in Sweden, should they become a local congregation, which they're being asked to do, or proposed they do, and well-meaningly too, by an excellent church there, that, and then begin to have regular corporate worship in the traditional sense, and it wouldn't be a family thing, it would be just college kids. And that's why, and maybe so. I'm just saying that I'm laying this out here as an application of what we've talked about thus far. And where are we going to correct the drifts if we don't want it to drift that way? And I don't think we do. Yes, Chuck. Well, Chuck, I would prefer not to respond to that question at this moment, even if I had an answer. What I'd like to see us do is consider the general thrust of limits in terms of will not do, and then whether any of these individual things survive or not, or in the form they're here. Should there be, one of the questions we're discussing, should there be limits? I mean, that's up for question. Should we say will not do? If so, what should they be? Another thing, I think that we've got to, and I think this timing is perfect because we have an afternoon off now, is to step back and take a look of everything we've discussed up to this date. The church, churches, specialized functions, aim, essentials, and especially the part on relating. And that what we're talking about here is something in the realm of now putting another step towards making real and practical what we have talked about. But it has to be in perspective. See what I'm trying to say? So I'd like to hold a minute on this till we have at least gone down the list here for clarification. Then let's discuss your question a little later. Because this little list I've got here is not all that complicated. Now, it's certainly true that there are a lot of implications that I haven't thought of. And but that's what we want to talk about. And it's also a reason why we felt it might be wise to get a plane reservation Saturday afternoon instead of Saturday morning. Because we're just now getting into the fun part of this thing. So could I delay?
Sure.
Unless I missed the question now. No, you're talking to a guy whose data processing system maybe isn't working that well. I think I'll ask somebody else. Do you know? Could you tell me, Jack, what he asked? Who can tell? Who could rephrase what Chuck asked? Because I may have missed it. Okay, Bob Stevens. Well, okay.
Because I understand what he said. As he goes down, as the limits begin to solidify, he sees his own heart and soul and being outside those limits. Is that an indication that maybe God is directing him outside the structure of the navigators to do what's on his heart?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but I'd like to, say it right away.
That there's not... Oh, I would like to... I would like to say that's a very legitimate, proper, unsinful... consideration. That's right. And it may be that somebody feels called to do something for God that should not be done under the context of the navigators. And I think that's perfectly... And I'm sure that's going to be. In fact, I know it. Because I'm surprised... I mean, through the years, the people I've talked to that want to do certain things under the ban of the navigators, and we just said, look, friend, why don't you be happier, more effective... if you do that thing outside the framework of the navigators, because that is not our essential bent at this particular time. And that's another factor, too. The time in history in which we're sitting here talking is 1976. And things have changed, and I'm groping to keep up with those changes as well. But I think the answer is yes. If a person looked at what we came up with at the end, and they say, well, I believe God's called me to this. This does not fit within the parameters that the navigators feel, and I could better do that in another context. Yeah, I think that's right. It's not sour grapes either. It's calling. Yes, Chuck?
If I got him right, I thought that was secondary to his real question, which was the vision of the navigators to follow up on the disciple-making, that the church is now picking that up in reaching a place like L.A. and so on. And, therefore, he wrestles with this thing. And I thought that the beat on staff might be secondary to that.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is that it gets back to the discussion on the aim. The aim is to see the great commission fulfilled. And my aim in L.A. is to do concentrating on laborers, but I would still want to concentrate on laborers in the context of seeing that change that you described. Is that a word now accept with what we're expressing? Now, again, don't have a problem with the limits.
See, we were talking a little coffee break. Was that, were you in our little group?
Me and you.
Yeah. Just let me say right off, the answer is no. It has to do with the emphasis. And I think you can set your heart at ease just in a moment here. And I'd like to remind you, it says here, will not do in carrying out our aim is what we're talking about here. And furthermore, I think that we could decide together not to do what else someone else can do or will do when there's so much to be done that no one else can do or will do. And that we should talk about the minimum of what we need to do to carry out our aim rather than the maximum of what we could do to carry out our aim. And so I think you're referring back to a comment I made earlier about whether our aim is to reach the whole campus or to raise up laborers or a whole community or to raise up laborers. That's back under our aim. Now, I thought maybe you were talking about relating. That's still another subject. And I'm saying that this has to be taken in the context of the whole framework and not just lift two pages, lift it up by itself, and one by one, zero in as though now this is the is or is not what the navigators do. This is in the context, okay? So I got all excited about the interrelationships of when you work with people and their kids are going to the campus, they get involved with NAVS, and a whole community begins to, as an infrastructure, a web system, it begins to take place. So what you're doing, the church and the community, all the way to the campus, the military base, and there's a blend in the whole thing. And when you become brainwashed with that thing, it looks more and more like modality-type operations, admittedly. But you can preserve your distinctive, but your goal is to see all of that happen, whether it happens through the church, whether it happens through another Christian organization, regardless of how it happens, that a community begins to change and begins to, I use the illustration of Ephesus. After Paul and his team went there, things began to happen. And still there were laborers, there's lots of laborers. And so the results were satisfactory. But there was, in fact, a change occurring. And that's what I'm kind of asking. If that kind of a burden, is that out too wide for the navigator? Or too like on a mark? Well, I take it that you're on a different question than we are here. But my response to you would be that somebody asked yesterday or the day before the difference between vision and aim. And I think this helps you. I think a vision is much broader than that which I am myself doing to help accomplish that vision. It says to help fulfill Christ's great commission. And that's a whole lot bigger than what I myself am helping to do to accomplish that vision. And I don't have to block out of my mind a vision for the accomplishing of the whole great commission in order to do my segment. So to me, that would be an answer to that. Okay, shall we go back to this list here? To baptize or serve the Lord's Supper as part of the navigator ministry. I don't know if you get approached every once in a while, Matthew 28, 19, and 20. You navigators quote that. Now, why don't you baptize? You get that? Well, you know, 1 Corinthians 1, 17 sure helps you out of that hole, doesn't it? That I've had, years ago, somebody said, I will pay for the reprinting of the entire topical memory system if you include 3 verses on baptism. So, you know, you do get pressures on the subject once in a while. Would appreciate the gift, but without the strings attached to it. Now, here again, navigators are baptized in the ocean, the creek, and Eagle Lake. I've served the Lord's Supper. Here again, I am not aware of theologically what would prohibit this. I personally baptized one fellow in Eagle Lake, and I don't think I'd do it again. We didn't have any assembly around to witness. I think part of it, in my mind, is a public testimony, and there wasn't any public. So here again at Atlanta, at the COD, we had communion there at New Year's Eve, and we talked about it and said, well, why don't we just have some recognized, ordained ministers, some congregations come and help serve it. I don't know if it would have been unscriptural or wrong to do it on our own. Because if you said, well, I'm ordained, Skip's ordained, it isn't a big deal in my mind, but it's a suggestion that we might want to consider avoiding that which, here again, in a particular locale or wherever, that is considered the franchise of local congregations. And it is a wonderful experience. And I know some said it was some of the highlights. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that should we not watch it at this particular point? Is it necessary for the accomplishment of our aim? And would it be another identifiable step of drift towards that which I think we would like to avoid? So that's what that's there for. I have no ground to say it's wrong. I'm just proposing it that we be extremely careful about it. That's what that's meant to say. And I'm not here to say that we'll say naughty, naughty. There's a spirit of things here that I'm trying to compute. This is not a list of rules or regulations. I'm trying to, and that's why the word will not do is probably the wrong way to put it. Okay? We're trying to get a spirit of things here. Now, to become church or churches, the idea of cradle to the grave, the whole full orb spectrum of local congregations as navigators, we talked about that under the subject of relating. And we said we would come back to that again, which we will as we see the whole context of it. But that's, I think we've covered that. Plant navigator churches, that is, as a specific calling that in our aim or strategy or objectives is to specifically set out to establish, plant, develop churches, navigator churches. That is, there are things that does not say, but that's what it does say. We can talk about that as I get down through the list here, clarification. To consider ourselves clergy equippers, except as it relates to our calling. Now here, I feel that there are some good, honest difference of opinion on this, and I wouldn't fight for this either. I am proposing to us that, at least in the attempts that I have seen, concerted attempts in terms of pastors' conferences and anything of that nature, there are individual exceptions all over the place. But as a statement of aim, as a concerted part, that we are going to somehow or other figure out ways to help equip the clergy, pastors, so on, that it didn't seem, at least where I have observed it, we have been signally blessed in our attempts to do so. And that we are saint equippers. And at least my observation would be, here at the Glen, for instance, we have 6 or 8 pastors come to a conference from, say, from Kansas or somewhere, and they're just one of the gang, and they're being equipped like an ordinary saint. They just get their socks blessed off of them. But somehow or other, when we formalize it into something special for them, it, at least where I have been involved, I felt a laid an egg. Now, I think you guys have done better. Another reason I put this in here is that, that really comes down to the next one. Let me pause for, no, I haven't got time for a joke. I'll keep that one, because maybe Skip's told you anyway. I'm always hesitant to speak after Skip has in any conference, because he, any joke I know, he knows it. He's heard it, told it. We'll not consider ourselves church reformers, revivalists, or renewal experts. I don't know if you get pressure on you, but I do, to identify ourselves. Well, are you guys reformers? Are you revivalists? You gotta decide and then go do accordingly. Dick Halverson suggested to me that we forget about that point. I was talking with him about it a few years back, and he said, I doubt very much if Martin Luther and his buddies sat down in a living room and talked about, well, what are we, guys? Let's see. Are we reformers? Revivalists? What are we, anyway? Well, let's see. We're reformers. And so let's go do that. No, they did what they thought was best at the time. Historians came along and gave them a title. Also, on several occasions, I have had someone of the kind that you listen to come to see me. I remember one fellow, this is a few years back, because it made quite an impression on me. I was sitting there at my desk, and he pulled the chair up right up next to mine, and as if to say, no, his is really important. He said, Lorne, you owe it to God to give as much study to the local church as you have to the Billy Graham follow-up, and then come up with how it ought to be done and teach local congregations how they really ought to do the job. Well, you know, the man that said it and all, I couldn't very well take it lightly, and I've given a lot of thought to it, and I just somehow have the feel that that isn't what God's called us to do. So that's the intent of what I have in here. Now, I have talked, on the other hand, just to give you the other hand, I gave you an illustration the other day that of this idea, this survey of 5,000 ministers, their number one concern, getting my lay people involved as ministering men and women, and then their uncertainty where to look for help or even knowing if it was available in how to do the very thing we're talking about. So I may be wrong, but it just seemed to me that somehow the context in which we do it seems work out best when it's in the context of equipping, quote, layman. I may be wrong on that, wouldn't fight for it, but that's the way it seemed to me, and that's why I put it in there. We'll come back for clarifications on any of these in just a moment, but that's why it's there. We'll not consider ourselves a relief agency. That is, it's been proposed that maybe we should set up a fund or a department or some aspect of our work with a view to helping the poor. We're working in third world, etc., and maybe we should do this. But at least up to this point, it seems to me, while each of us has a Christian responsibility to the poor, and more than I feel I am discharging, and I feel some sense of, we're just going to reevaluate our giving on that subject. I think we need to do more. That the NAVS as a group has that been called to specialize in this. That's what this is meant to say. And it may not be necessary to say it. I have it in here because it has been seriously proposed to me on several occasions. And this is a conclusion to which I have come, and I laid out before you. And if, on the other hand, we may think, well, God's calling us to set aside 10%, well, and we felt that together, I haven't. That's what the Lord's leading, that's fine. I'm telling you why it's here, and where we have felt about it to this point. I'm a catalyst for a discussion here. That's why it's there. Is this to discuss the question or for clarification?
Clarification.
Okay. You're first, Lauren.
Would you have any objections to have all the NAP works that we're responsible for a given weekend to have a thrust on, say, collecting clothing or earning money, have everybody work, earn money to give the World Vision?
Oh, no. Before that, I'm talking about as a specialized calling, as a function that we set up as a continuing thing, that's what we have a calling to do. That's what I'm talking about. If they want to, skip a meal and give the money to the poor and all, super. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking here about ourselves as a called, specialized function to set up a relief agency as such to channel and all the rest that goes with that. That's what I'm talking about.
I was thinking of sponsoring.
Yes. That may be the way to put it. But I certainly, my gathering clothes and working to help the poor and all, applaud that, you bet. But I think that clears what I'm trying to say is another department and hire people and we're going to gather it and distribute it and so on, that there are agencies called to do that. And we support them, and we'll not go into that ourselves and all that aspects, but we'll certainly participate. And that's right. Yes, Warren?
I was wondering if we don't feel it's wise to concentrate our ministry, or focus the ministry here in the States and on the poor, I wonder how it fits that we focus our ministry among the poor in the world. Some of the third world countries are so poor. Is that similar?
No, this does not say that we won't work with the poor as far as our ministry is concerned.
If you focus on the poor, people who are giving governments subsidies and so on, and have all kinds of social problems, they're very unmobile, they're very there, but we usually focus on the middle class, so they're more mobile.
But now that, to me, is a whole other subject that some people have and seriously and legitimately wonder about as to the strategy of approaching particularly another country. What strategy should we start our ministry? And I don't think it isn't a discussion at this point. But this is not speaking to that in any way, whether we will or will not. At least it's not intended to speak to it in any way. If there's any causal or any relationship, I'm totally unaware of because it's not in my mind. Now, the last one has grown out of experiences through which we went a few years back. It will not permit speaking in tongues and navigator gatherings. And that is a whole subject in itself to which most of you haven't been around when that was quite an issue in the work and may not agree with the conclusion here, and you don't have to agree that there is a legitimacy to it. I have put down here the conclusion to which I came in studying the thing when it was an issue in the Navigators, and that the public use of tongues required congregational control of a local church, and since the Navigator Fellowship does not constitute a local church, it's out of court in any Navigator gathering. And so, if you're going to insist that the Navigator local gathering is a local church, you really hung me on one of my premises on this subject. Because as I read 1 Corinthians 14, I felt that the key to that thing was congregational control. So that's... okay, you can rethink and redebate that one through, but that is, in fact, what was a limit and a guide that was set up by me and others in the Navigators at that time when this was an issue. So I put it in there, and I don't know if it fits anybody today. But now the list, I would assume, would shorten and lengthen depending on the needs in the time of history. I certainly hope the list wouldn't grow to 30 items, because what you won't do naturally is going to grow. It's just like the list of what things you can do is this long, and what you're unable to do, you know, will reach to the bottomless pit. So there should be things deleted from this list that are really of no significance to the navigators today, and should really be reinstated if they are an issue, so that we keep things at a minimum. So when I said, would you please add, delete, as well as modify, I mean that. Say, well, man, that's no issue today, and if it ever becomes an issue, we'll trot the thing out and talk about it, so that we don't get encumbered with speaking to a lot of things or answering a lot of questions that aren't questions today. Now for clarification. Any questions for clarification on any of these items as to what we mean by them? Or general? Yes, Jake?
Just a
Now, I should say that Sani says, and those who are with me at the time may still agree or not, that this would not allow for teaching, propagating, or inducing tongues. It would allow for its private use in personal devotions. That's as far as it would go. And on that subject, I, way back there, did a couple tapes and wrote a letter to some pastor explaining it. However, if this becomes an issue, a lot of time has elapsed. I'd certainly like to be able to re-examine and reopen it again. But we came up to specific guidelines and limits at that time and determined what they were, and then some had to decide whether or not they could live within those limits or not, and some could and some could not, and then that's the way it was handled. I started out feeling that there was dispensationally, there was no such thing in this dispensation. Some of you may feel that, and that will not disqualify you in the navigators any more than I hope you feel won't disqualify me if I think there is a legitimacy in a narrow a circumstance. Since I think Paul wrote to curb it rather than to expand it, and yet that happens to be my conclusion to which I came at that time. And here again, as it comes up new, as I say, we have a whole new batch of people. We'd have to think through, pray through, study the Bible to our satisfaction. And this is not intended to hand down an edict from 15 years ago. I'm simply telling you where it stands. And where it does stand, if I get a letter today about it, this is the basis on which I would answer. And if that basis is wrong, then I need to learn, and we need to be together on it. At least enough to handle the parameters of it. I don't think we have to agree in every detail of it. Here again, if it's an issue. So we've got so many things to handle. If it's not an issue, let's not talk about it if it's not an issue. Because I'd sure like to know that I got to call Bob Schwall and tell him I got to quit working with him because he's 41. And Jim Morris wants to know if he should take a course in gerontology so he can start or not. See, if you can't work with old people, why take a course in geriatrics? Okay, any other questions for clarification? Well, you've got 45. Yes, we have 44. Yeah. That's fine. Take your time. Besides, I'm not going to look at it this afternoon anyway. I'm going to take a little time off and take a nap. Okay. Jack, do you have any further word before that? We won't be together again until 8:30 tomorrow morning here, right? Any question on logistics for this afternoon till tomorrow? Okay, let's pray. I think we ought to conclude this 2.5 days.